السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وکفا والصلاۃ والسلام علی سیدنا المصطفی صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الحج اشہر معلومات فمن فرض فیہن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال فی الحج وما تفعلوا من خیر یعلمہ اللہ وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى واتقون يا أولي الألباب. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers, we have been discussing some issues of Hajj, and a fortnight ago we were discussing the questions that Hazrat Sheikh Shibli Rahmatullah Alayhi had put forward to a murid of his who had returned from Hajj. He asked him a number of questions. We have discussed some of them. For example, that did you make a proper niyat of Hajj? Then he said, yes, I did make a niyat of Hajj. He said, at that time, did you also make a niyat to distance yourself from everything that is against the spirit of Hajj? Everything that is against the spirit of Hajj, did you make the niyat that I'm going to distance myself from all that? Or did you just want a title of Haji Sahib? Any case, he said that, no, I did not make that kind of niyat. Out of humility, he may have said it, whatever it may be, but he said, well, in that case, you haven't made niyat. Just running through it quickly, those things that we have discussed. Then he asked him that, did you remove your clothes before putting on the ihram? The person has to remove his normal clothes. He said, yes, that I did do. So he said, and then did you, when you were removing the clothes, make the niyat that I remove from my life everything that is evil, that is haram, that is forbidden, that is obscene, that is shameful? I'm just explaining to you, giving in a bit of detail. So he said, no, that kind of niyat I did not make. So he said, well, then you did not remove your clothes. So after that, did you take a bath? He said, yes, I took a bath. He said, when you took a bath, then at that time, did you also take a bath and make ghusl from all the sins, from all the evils? Did you give your heart a bath? In other words, that just as we give bath to our physical bodies, there needs a bath for our hearts. The ghusl of the heart, that the person removes all kinds of aqaid which are not according to Sharia. Aqaid, the batila, the beliefs of a person. Like we know what kinds of beliefs people have these days. Look at the number of people that are getting caught up with these fortune tellers. If the fortune teller has to tell the person that this is what is your future, or many of them are looking at the stars foretell. Now those people who are saying all that, or who are fortune telling, they don't know their own fortunes. That very famous incident in the time of Hazrat Harun Rashid, that somebody who was famous and well known for fortune telling, so he used to read the palms of the person. So the king was also told, it was Harun Rashid or one of the other kings, so the king was also told of this person that he has got an expertise. Harun Rashid was a pious king. So this king was told that he's got an expertise in telling the fortune of a person and reading the palm and talking about the future. So he asked him, he said, all right, read my palm and tell me how long will I be living in this world. So he told him 20 years, 25 years, whatever he said. So now the king got very worried that that's all life he's got now. So then he asked him, the king was told by his wazir, by his minister, he said, ask him now to read the palm of his own hand and say how long he is going to live. So he was now caught in a trap. So he looked at his hand and he said, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, whatever period of time, he read his own palm and said, this is how long I will be living. So this minister, he took the sword and took his neck off. The one who read his own palm and said, I'll live for another 20 years, he took his neck off. And he said, what did he tell you just now, how long he's going to live? He said, so many years. He said, he didn't even live for a few seconds after that. So if he cannot read his own palm, where can he read your palm? Where can he tell your future? So therefore we have to be very, very careful with aqaid. We should not be carried away by these type of fortune tellers. And then again, in the same line, we know that present is so much of this Tawis people and those people who are putting people into a trance and thereafter saying that so and so did jadu on you and your mother-in-law and father-in-law and sister-in-law and children too now are doing jadu as if nobody has got any other work to do except jadu on everyone. We have to be very careful. So nevertheless, so here this person is told that when you took out your clothes and you've had a ghusl and bath for this hajj, or for this ihram, then at that time did you give a ghusl and bath to your heart also? From the aqaid, from the false aqaid, belief in anything that is ghayrullah. Did you clean and purify your heart from malice, from greed, from pride? Did you give a bath to all those sins that are of the heart? Jealousy, greed. So he said, no, that I did not do. He said, well then you did not really take a bath also before the ihram. Thereafter the person puts on his sheets of ihram and he says, labbaik. He said, when you called out labbaik, then at that time, were you conscious of the fact that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, I'm explaining to you what questions he had asked. He said, at that time when you were calling out labbaik, I am present, Ya Allah, I am present. So did you get a response? Did you hear from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that your labbaik is accepted, that I welcomed you, I am pleased with your coming? Obviously, there was no sound that was going to come, otherwise every haji would have had to wait for that. Therefore, we must not take it literally. What it means that the person feels in his heart, there is some kind of feeling that the person has, which we term as kaifiyat, an experience that the person seems to feel that my Allah has accepted my coming. Because this is a very important thing. If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not pleased with the person's coming, then what is the purpose of that hajj? There are so many sins that we engage in, and then we pitch up there, and we cry in Arafat, and then we think everything is maaf. The rights of people which we have suppressed, or if we have caused harm, injury and pain to any person, or we have done injustice upon any soul, then those sins are not forgiven no matter how much you cry there. It is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's system that you have to be making sincere tawbah. That means that if the person for some reason or the other could not before leaving fulfill those rights of people that he had trampled or paid those debts that he was owing, and now he is showing true remorse and regret in the plains of Arafat, crying it out, that when I go back now, I will make sure that every person to whom injustice was done will be asked for forgiveness. All these telephone calls that people make from there to everyone here and there, just to show I was here and I was there, instead of that, make that call to those people upon whom injustice was done, and say that I made my Arafat, but my heart is not at ease. I am finding myself restless because I had done some injustice to you. That property which did not belong to me, I had taken it away illegally. It was not my rightful share. Or those monies which I had been owing you and which I had denied that I was owing you. Or I had cheated you, I had deceived you, I had embezzled the funds, whatever had been done. Now there is deep remorse and regret in my heart. I have shed tears of regret before my Allah in plains of Arafat. But now it is difficult for me to resolve all those problems from here or to pay you back. But I have made up my mind when I return from here, then make sure that everything is put right. Amends will be made. Injustices, the person asks for forgiveness. That is Arafat. So these souls that have been harmed, so he says this, putting on the ihram and calling out labbaik, then at that time this is what we mean, that did you get any response from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Because Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when the person, again give you the gist, there's no time to go into any details, and something that's relevant for everybody, because we're going to talk only about the Haji Sahib, then we'll say that it's not relevant to us. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, The gist of that Hadith Sharif is that when a person is proceeding for Hajj, and his transport is paid for with halal earnings, his clothing is of halal, his provisions are of halal. In other words, the person buys his ticket with halal money. He doesn't buy it with interest money. He doesn't buy it with gambling money. He doesn't buy it with money which has been taken from somebody by cheating the person or deceiving the person. Not that kind of ticket. Or the person doesn't buy tickets upon tickets every year like people do for Qurbani. They buy big, big animals. And many farmers, they say after that, they don't even know where that person is gone. So many farmers don't want to supply Muslims on credit anymore, animals. I personally met two of them. They said the person bought so many sheep, the person bought so many cattle, and the person's check bounces. Now is that qurbani? So like that, many people have purchased Hajj tickets, but there was no intention of payment. But it was just to show that I made so many Hajj. What is the purpose of that kind of Hajj? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, if the person has made it purchases, or his travel and transport and everything was from halal, his food and drink and clothing, everything from halal, this whole journey, there was nothing but halal money that was used. I'll give you the gist and the meaning of the Hadith Sharif. Only halal was used. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is calling for Hajj. How can the person be presenting himself and saying, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, when the person's provisions are not of halal? So therefore, if it is of halal, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala appoints an angel to tell the person that your coming is very, very pleasing. Your coming is accepted. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells the angel to inform this person, even though he may not be listening, that may you be happy, because your provisions are of halal. Your travel and transport or everything is of halal. So therefore your Hajj will be also a righteous Hajj, a maqbool Hajj, a mabroor Hajj, a Hajj in which there is the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, for whose pleasure in fact we went for the Hajj. And if the person's earnings are not of halal, the person's provisions are not of halal, the person's payment of the transport and everything else is not of halal, his accommodation in those hotels there is not of halal earnings, there's so much of haram that is mixed up, then he calls out labbaik, that labbaik of his is rejected. That labbaik of his is rejected. The angels say that your provisions are not of halal, transport not of halal, nothing halal. So therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not accept that kind of Hajj. Now these are things that we listen to all the time in Hajj bayans and other bayans. But it is relevant to each and every one of us, that just as those people who are Haji sahibs, or they are going to make Hajj, then these questions were posed by Shaykh Shibli to such a murid who had made Hajj and come. But it is the same for us also when we take our namaz, we take our fasting, we take our zakat. In everything it is the same thing, that we can ask the same questions. If a person has to ask us that now that when you came for the Jummah, if a person was in need of ghusl, then we would have said that you had to take ghusl. So did you take ghusl and bath? The person would say, yes, definitely I took bath. He said, you took a bath, but then you take a bath from all the evils that were in your heart. Did you clean and purify the heart of all those evils? Did you give ghusl to the heart from malice, greed, pride, arrogance? And these clothes that you wore and came to the masjid, were they of halal earnings? And our cell phones and our pens and everything else that we bring to the masjid, and the provisions in the home, the food that we ate at home, was that all of halal earnings? And those cars that we drove and came, were they of halal earnings? We can ask ourselves the same question. So the person will say, no, I don't think it was halal. So then they say, well, make plenty of tawbah, and before you make the next namaz, at least go and try and resolve these problems. Then the person will say, or we ask the question, did you make wuzu before your salat? Said, yes, I did make wuzu. So did you wash your hands? Said, yes, I washed my hands. Said, did you wash your hands of all the injustice that these hands have done? All the zulm that your hand has done? The power that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave to you, did you use it correctly? The authority that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave to you, did you do injustice with that authority?
Or did you use it in a manner that was pleasing to Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu was salam? If you were a boss or a director of some company, or you were head and in charge of some kind of department, whatever field you may have been, so this authority that you had was a power that Allah Ta'ala had given. So therefore we say, did you wash your hands? He says, yes, I washed my hands. He said, but did you wash your hands of all the zulm and the injustice at that time when you made wuzu before you made your namaz? So he says, no, that I did not do. So then we'll say, you haven't washed your hands. Then that person has to wash his face. He said, did you wash your face in wuzu? He said, yes, I washed my face in wuzu. So at that time, did you wash your eyes from all the lustful glances that you have been casting here and there? All the lustful glances that we cast here and there, and all the evil that we see on the porn sites, and all the haram that we watch on the television. So then did we make the niyat, ya Allah, this wuzu that I am making, I'm washing my eyes of all that haram, which has entered through the eyes into my heart, and all that haram, which has entered through my mouth into my heart, and all that haram that entered through my ears into my heart. So the person that is making wuzu, now he's making wuzu, he's washing his face, so we ask the same questions. Did you wash your eyes? And when the person gargled his mouth, we say, you gargled your mouth, but did you gargle it now properly from all lies, and from taking false oaths and qasams, and from swearing and cursing and abusing with this tongue, and from slicing the hearts of people with this tongue, and injuring and causing pain and hurt? So did you gargle your mouth properly from all these type of sins? So now what will the person say? What will we say? In the same way, when the person is making masah of his ears, he's putting his fingers inside his ears, then at that time also the same question, that you put your fingers into your ears, then did you put your fingers into your ears, shutting them off from listening to all kinds of things that are haram? Did you do that? The person is making masah of his head. So like this, the questions that were posed, if we can carry on like this, hands, feet, everything, that when the person washed his feet, then we say that did you wash the feet also from in future not walking to any place that Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam are displeased with, from walking to the cinemas, discos, theatres, gambling dens, or any kind of haram. So therefore this Haji Sayyid now, we were discussing, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, if his provisions are from haram, then that Hajj is not accepted. Therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on one occasion asked a question, and again giving you the gist because there's no time to go into details. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam questioned the Sahaba kiram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, that who in your opinion is an insolvent person? The person who is destitute, poverty stricken, hasn't got anything left. So they said, obviously the person who has got no money, that person is poverty stricken. He hasn't got anything. He is poor. He is an insolvent person. So here in our language we say insolvent person, the person had a big business running and then he went insolvent. So the same thing applies here. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that insolvent person on the day of Qiyamah will be that person who came with plentiful of namaz. Not only his farz namaz, but he was making nafil namaz, ishraq and chasht and awwabin and tahajjud and everything else. The person comes with so much of namazes. He comes with so much of ibadat and zikr and tilawat. I'll give you the meaning of the hadith sharif. He comes with all these type of things, plentiful. Every time you find tasbih in the person's hand. And the person was doing a lot of other good deeds, charitable deeds. He was helping the poor and the needy and the destitute. He was caring for the orphans and the widows. Everything good he was doing. But now when he came on the day of judgment, then at that time, the person may have sworn someone, but didn't ask for forgiveness. So now this person, his good deeds will be given away to that person. For that swearing, that good deed will go to him. Then the person may have taken some property that did not belong to him. Unjustly, he usurped the property. As often so commonly when it comes to inheritance matters. Because the will states according to the government law, this person must receive so much, whereas the Quranic law says he must receive so much. But he says, I want according to the government law. So now if he had done things like that, on the day of Qiyamah, now this person's good deeds will be given to that person. Because the exchange there is going to be good deeds. It's not going to be rands and cents, dollars and pounds. then all the other injustices and whatever other kind of harm that he caused to people and injury and pain to people without justification, so his good deeds will be given to those people. When he's left with nothing, no good deeds left, so now the bad deeds of those victims will be given to him. So he came with so much on the day of Qiyamah, as we may term in our language here, that the person had a flourishing business and he was a multi-millionaire and billionaire, but now he has become bankrupt and pauper. So now that all the good deeds are gone, the bad deeds of those people will be transferred into his account. So as it is, he was sitting with nothing and now even more burden of sins. So Hajj is not a plaything. The person must make sure that his earnings are halal, that he has fulfilled the rights of people. It is not a status symbol that the person achieves, that I made so much of Hajj. But of course there's great, great rewards. If the person makes proper Hajj, then there's great rewards. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blesses with such kind of forgiveness that not only they are forgiven, but 400 families of theirs. 400 families. And the Sahabi says that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that his du'as on behalf of 400 families, or intercession on behalf of 400 families, or 400 of his family members, whatever it may be. That is again now the maqbool Hajj. So the person who's really making a Hajj sincerely with halal earnings, then this is a reward that he is getting. لَيْسَ لَهُ جَزَاءٌ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ حَجَّ مَبْرُورٌ. The jaza and reward of that is nothing except Jannat. We can't even give in this world, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala can't give in this world to that person the rewards. He will get it in Jannat. Because in this world, every person, irrespective of who he may be, how pious and righteous he may be, but he cannot say that I will never suffer any kind of pain, any kind of sickness, any kind of hardship and any kind of problem in this world. So even if he has made a maqbool Hajj, he may go through difficulties in this world. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives that person inner contentment, sukoon, peace, tranquility, and in the akhirat, in Jannat, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives him unlimited rewards. So Hajj on the one hand is a great ibadah. It is very, very different from all the ibadat, as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, that it is very different. And I conclude again on the same thing that I mentioned at the beginning, that Hajj is very, very different. We can make our namaz in South Africa, we can make our namaz in England, in Europe, in any part of the world, we can make it. We can give our zakat anywhere, we can fast anywhere. But for Hajj, the person leaves his town, his country, his city, everything, and go to Makkah Mukarramah. Makkah Mukarramah also, on the 8th of Zilhijjah, leave this beautiful city of Makkah Mukarramah, leave the Kaabatullah Sharif, and go out. Those days was nothing but wilderness there. Now it's all Azizia and it's big, big buildings and big, big properties and everything have come up. But otherwise go out. Now that Haji Sahab says, but I dearly love the Kaaba Sharif. I can't leave the Kaaba Sharif. So your Hajj will not be valid. You'll have to go to Arafat. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept and make maqbool the Hajj of the Hajis that have gone already and those that will be going. And for all of us, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the hidayat and the tawfiq to do everything that is pleasing to our Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Bless us and the ummah with the best of dunya and akhirat. And Allah remove the pain, suffering, hardship and difficulties of mankind around the globe. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.